welcome to episode 3 of the Unfiltered Love Podcast. All right, so today is going to be a really exciting episode.
Ooh.
Lots of tea, lots of good advice, hopefully too.
What are we going to be talking about?
We're going to talk about something that I think is actually really interesting and hopefully relevant and relatable to a lot of people. I think, you know, when people get into long-term relationships, sometimes they can feel like they're losing their sense of self or who they are as a person, and their identity gets kind of swallowed up by the other person or the relationship. So we're going to talk about that today.
Exciting.
I'm really excited.
So actually today we are going to be sharing a patron question, which if you did not know, this podcast is actually funded by our Patreon supporters. Thank you very much for being here and supporting the podcast.
Patreon.com/Jacqueline and David. And
so,
today,
yeah, we have a pretty cool thing that we're going to be that is leading off today's episode. We actually have the ability to take video questions from our Patreon family. So we have a question today.
Yeah, our first video question.
Yeah,
I'm super stoked.
And I think we're gonna start right off with it.
So let's hear it.
All right, this is from Nugget Cake.
Hi guys, it's me, Nugget Cake. So I really wanted to ask you guys a question about what your thoughts are on how you can best maintain your sense of self in a long-term relationship. I mentioned in a past YouNow stream that I have a chronic problem with codependency, and it's now gotten to the point where I've just given up on the whole prospect of relationships in general because I don't feel like it's worth it to put myself at risk of losing myself again. So I really just want to hear what your thoughts are on the subject matter, and any advice would be very much appreciated.
That was so sweet. I love her accent, and if you guys couldn't see, she's absolutely adorable.
Wow. Thank you for the question, Nugget Cake.
We love you, Nugget Cake. That was really a very good question. She had a lot of things.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, there's a lot in that. First of all, super sad to hear anyone is giving up on relationships.
Yeah, you definitely, I mean, we've been through tough situations.
Yeah.
You've been through tough situations. In those moments, it's sort of hard to ever think that you're going to be happy again.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't see past it. I'm like, this is how I feel right now. This is how I'm going to feel forever.
Everything's ruined.
Forever.
Yeah.
I'm never going to find somebody good for me. I'm never going to be happy.
And you invest so much time in someone. You intertwine your lives for so long that the idea of being alone and trying to figure that out is extremely scary, extremely daunting. And when you're faced with that, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's definitely very scary. So I just want, you know, anybody who's feeling that, regardless of the situation, to know that I don't think you should give up. Never give up. I mean, and you know what? A lot of the times whenever you do give up is when you end up finding someone.
Oh,
because you're
completely.
Like, I'm so done with this.
Completely.
And then you find someone amazing, because I think something about looking gives off the wrong vibe. It's like not attractive when you're seeking another person so aggressively, like in an act of desperation. But if you're just like, whatever, I'm fine, I don't care anymore, that's when someone's like, hey, that's an independent person.
Exactly. And there's so much to unpack with this question. Where do you want to start?
Oh, God. Well, I want to give advice about how to maintain your sense of self, because I think that's completely possible. Like, there is nothing that anyone should ever feel like they have to do, like, personality-wise, to be in a relationship changing. Like, if you like a certain thing, don't feel like you can't like that thing anymore now that you're in a relationship. You know, a lot of people try to act like who they think the other person wants them to be instead of who they are, and that falseness is not something that you can keep up forever anyway. And that person liked you at the beginning for a reason, because they saw you for you, you know, and you should keep doing that. So I think we should give advice on how to be you. But also, let's relate for a second. Have you ever felt that you've lost yourself in a relationship?
And it's usually only towards the very end of the relationship, or when the unhappiness has shown itself in my own day to day, or truly once the breakup has happened. So that's sort of the first day that I often have felt, holy shit, who am I? Like, what am I doing with my life right now? How do I figure out what's important to me, because I'm so used to catering to someone else's needs that now all of a sudden, for the first time, I'm the only one that matters.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's a stressful thing. Also, if you've seen a future with this person and now you have to reimagine You know, even the immediate future, like, oh, you know, next month we were supposed to do this thing, and now do I go? Do I not go?
Well, yeah, and
there's a lot of that.
There can be living things, mm-hmm. there can be money things, there can be, there's so many, like, I mean, crap, my last relationship, we broke up, and then I broke my spine 3 days later, and I, like, had to call and say, like, hey, like, I can't move out. Like, I can't leave yet. I need to heal for a few months. So that was like a huge wake-up call. For number one, I was like, oh my God, my life is completely changing, which at this point in time, I was honestly pretty ready for it, but it was like, my life's changing. But then it was like, holy shit, I can't dress myself.
Yeah, that's a lot to combine, a breakup and a major injury.
Yeah. So that's my personal story on that. Does that question trigger anything for you?
Yeah, a lot of things. I don't know where to start. I think the most significant area of my life where I could relate to that was when I was married, because he was so different than me, because I was so young. I don't think I knew who I was even yet at that point, which is like, I could go into a rant on getting married young, and I have lots to say on that, but that's not this podcast.
But there is sort of a huge element of you... The snowball effect of you having continually lost yourself further and further into why that seems so like the right decision at that point in time.
Yeah, it was a really confusing time for me. But whenever I, you know, was in that moment of, you know, trying to figure out who I was versus like who I was supposed to be for my relationship, I was really torn because he was religious. His family was religious. You know, he didn't really like my hobbies. He put down doing YouTube videos and all of the things that I took an interest in. He thought that was, you know, that's like a waste of time. That's like nerd shit kind of thing. You know, I got really put down for it. And that broke me down over time. I'm like, oh, well, maybe this is stupid what I'm doing. Maybe I should be focusing more on things that he thinks are cool, that he thinks are important. By the way, right now, if you can't see, David is pouring me wine, which is great because this is a stressful topic.
Yeah, you know, I figured that we needed to chill out a little. You know, it's
cheers.
L'chaim.
Cheers.
L'chaim.
Life.
Yeah, no, these breakups, this self dependency, codependency issue. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really, really tough.
And for me in that situation, you know. Being super young, I was in medical school, which is expensive, and we were married. We, like, had a house together. Jeez. Talk about codependency. Like, I felt really stuck in that situation, and it was incredibly difficult to find my way out of that. So it's hard because I was finding myself.
You actually, like, totally... When you moved to L.A., though, you bailed.
Yeah, I bailed on everything. My entire life, my years of education. Like, I mean, I still have my undergrad degree, which is great. But what's a degree in biomedical sciences if you don't do something after? You have to get a graduate degree. You have to go to med school.
So you literally packed up your life and...
I didn't really have a better choice with the way I was thinking at the time. Like, you know, a lot of times I say, like, YouTube kind of saved me. Because if I didn't have this option, I don't know what I would have done. And I was like, really?
Didn't you have like 20,000 subscribers?
30.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. No, it was really unrealistic. And everyone judged me for it, which honestly, like, yeah, I can see how it would look like a poor choice.
Yeah.
But it was the best thing I've ever done. So, you know, I definitely was codependent in that scenario. I've been in other relationships since then that I feel like it's been kind of the other way around, where I would be pushy on them, and not in a bad way. Like, they had really bad habits that they needed to get rid of. And I mean bad habits, like drugs or, you know, behavioral things in their life where they were not being productive or they were being lazy, and I needed to push them to be more successful, or, you know, get up off the couch and do your work for the day, and not do drugs. Or, you know, be a better partner. Maybe don't look at every woman and comment about, look at that girl's boobs as they walk by to me. Like, you know, don't do things like that. So, you think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I dated some shitty people. But I had to, like, try to make them who I wanted them to be. So I don't think I was necessarily codependent in those relationships, because I was trying to change them. And I wasn't, like, conforming to that.
Yeah. So I totally get that. Not, but you know, you can also take that idea of, you know, changing them, and I'm using that lightly, because you want to inspire sort of maybe good positive traits in them. So here's an example that I'm sort of taking another step, but this is all sort of the idea of this. I'm fighting back with the positivity of encouraging other habits. So for example, I started skiing when I was like 2 years old. It's something my family does. It's like,
I know exactly where this is going.
It's like my entire, this is like when my family gets together, we go skiing. Mm-hmm. Like, and you don't do that. Mm-hmm. And also my dad actually, for the first time, he skied when he was your age. So mm-hmm. he learned, there is a learning thing. And so with this is not necessarily like focusing on something I want to change you that's negative. This is me bringing something of myself in that I want to maybe inspire in you, and like maybe we can all do this together with my family, and like you are gonna suck for a while, but like you'll get good.
Hey, you don't think I'm amazing already?
You're really making great progress.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah. I might have advanced us ahead in the conversation a little bit. That's the idea, that it's okay to, you know, no one's gonna be perfect, or you know, it's okay to work on things with people or present new ideas or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, that's part of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the entire point, is that you share things with each other. Mm-hmm. And that includes the other person's hobbies. And that includes, you know, doing new things or trying new things, you know, that you might not necessarily have done before. I definitely don't think I would have gone skiing. I don't like cold weather. I grew up in Florida and now I live in California. Snow, what is that?
Exactly.
I've seen that actually probably more times with you than I have ever in my life.
And it
before.
Was really cute when we were at the Grand Canyon. There was like some crappy little snow next to the curb, and you were like, oh my God, I need to get out of the car and look at the snow.
I did. What? There was like the tiniest little pile.
What the hell? This is so
and I just jumped on it, and both of my feet were like bigger than the little pile of snow, but I completely smashed it, and it felt amazing.
Which was dangerous. You didn't know that you could have slipped and fallen.
I didn't know.
You didn't know.
I did bust my ass pretty hard in Colorado, though, on that ice.
Yeah, you really did.
We were out with his sister, and like I slipped and fell, and I cut myself, and I was bleeding everywhere, but I didn't want to tell him because I didn't want to like ruin our hike.
Yeah.
So I just kind of was in a bad mood for the rest of the hike, and you didn't know why.
Yeah. All right, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to to the element of codependency and finding yourself and being confident in yourself.
So there is something that I think is good, like you said, about learning about the other person and adapting a little bit to their lifestyle. If it's positive.
Yeah, they can bring in different perspectives. Yeah. And honestly, I think a different perspective on life, relationships, love, work, whatever, mm-hmm. can be a huge, you know, role model. Even sort of with a little bit of what I take from you, you've inspired me in ways with my career, my music, my videos, my content, my relationships with my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
hopefully in good ways.
You know, I'm giving my mom and a Mother's Day present and my sister a graduation present.
You wanted to do that.
I did. But like you're a good inspiration when it comes down to.
We had fun picking stuff out together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When it comes down to doing cute, loving things for people that are important to me, and you help remind me, because I was the kid at summer camp. This is still a little tangent, but I was the kid at summer camp that I didn't write letters home.
Oh my God, you told me. I would have been so mad if I were your mom.
I know, but I love my parents and I love my family, but like when it was like rest time at camp, I was like probably resting.
Okay, but were all the other kids, was there like a time where you guys would sit down and be like, okay, write letters to your parents?
Yeah, it was like rest time.
And you didn't?
No. I would like be like flushing Beanie Babies down the toilet and like.
What? Why would you do that to Beanie Babies?
You know, we were doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but.
You know, I had a collection of Beanie Babies growing up.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Like, what you just said hurts my heart.
They were off-brand Beanie Babies.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. we're on a weird tangent.
That's okay.
How did we get there?
It's always okay to end up with Beanie Babies, no matter what.
As a tangent?
Yeah. It's a great tangent. I approve. You're talking about summer camp and not writing back and me inspiring you to be more communicative with your family.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So these are good things that I've taken from you.
So what about bad habits? Have you ever taken bad habits from a relationship?
I've taken on a little OCD. I mean, I'm not actually OCD, but I've been more receptive to.
No, wait. Now, okay. Are you just talking about cleaning in general?
To an extreme degree. Like the damn baseboards.
You don't clean your baseboards.
Well, yeah, I know. I know I don't, and I get in a lot of trouble. And
I know. This is actually a really triggering topic for him.
Baseboards?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It really was a triggering topic
for me. That was a big thing.
Yes, I did not clean my baseboards, and so it would weigh on the relationship, and then I'd have to clean baseboards, and now I'm free. And as far as finding my sense of self, I'm not fucking cleaning those baseboards. They can clean themselves.
That means I'm going to be cleaning them. You know what that means?
That's what that means, right? I'm rebelling against.
Don't do this to me. No.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Okay. I'll help you. I'll help you.
You know, it's funny. I talk to my friends about you, and we talk so much shit. But it's funny because they're used to all my other like relationships, me going to them and just complaining. They're like, wait, so you don't have anything you're complaining about? What is this? And they're like, He's not like flirting with other girls in front of you. He's not trying to sleep with other women. He's not doing drugs. Who is this prince? I'm like, yeah, I know. Isn't it crazy? He's like not lying to me every day. Like, what? This is what relationships can be? I didn't know.
Don't make now everyone's gonna feel like they oh God.
sorry, but it is interesting. The dynamic shift. My friends are very confused by this relationship.
Well, from me, like having, you know, I'm not saying I've always been a great boyfriend or anything, but for us, I'm like so down. Like something about it, it has clicked in me. I am here. I'm here for, and maybe that's something that other guys are going to have or other girls, whatever. Other people in relationships finding themselves, I think when you sort of hit that right partner, the habits, the conflict that I've often had in the past about I need you to be this way, you need to be this way, whatever. Like, we're not having a negative back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We're like a tennis match that's like kicking it back and forth, and it's just getting faster and faster, and we're both like killing it.
So back to Nugget Cake's question, do you think that her issues with codependency were because she was not finding people that she could have that with?
I do. And not that it couldn't have developed into that way, but you know, and I know that we would always hope with our partners that those negative dependency elements would someday turn into something that can be the way we wanted it to be.
Yeah. I mean, what she's describing, I feel like is almost a relationship that's super toxic.
Yeah.
And
she's scared of a future relationship now because of the toxicity.
Because it was so bad. But that's not relationships all the time. That's because she had a really bad one. And the only times I ever felt that I was like in a toxic codependent environment were like whenever I was married and he was unsupportive and I felt kind of stuck there. Also, I can relate to one other relationship where I was constantly kind of put down and told that I wasn't good enough and like called a whore for ridiculous reasons and always like made to feel like shit about myself. And after a while, I started to feel like, oh, okay, maybe I am this like horrible person. Shit, maybe I don't deserve anything good. Maybe I, you know, like you start to believe it.
Yeah.
And then that makes you codependent because you're like, well, no one else is going to love me because this person who is with me thinks I'm so horrible.
That's
so interesting. Why would anybody else ever want me?
Like an intentional putting you down intentionally so that you stick around.
Yeah.
Dang.
I don't know.
You're so lucky.
And I'm not saying that that's what was happening, but that's what my brain was doing to me. And that's probably why I stayed in that relationship for more, you know, so many years. I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But
no, but I mean, looking back on mine, I feel the same way. I shouldn't have.
Yeah. I mean, you get kind of stuck in these types of things. And I do feel like it only becomes kind of negatively codependent whenever it's hurting you as a person. And it doesn't have to, like, if it's a good, healthy relationship, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, like, the fact that her question was worded the way that it was, I'm excited for her. Like, she's going to be totally surprised someday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's going to look back, and I'm so glad we have that question, too, because she's going to, like, look back in that, and she's going to be able to watch that in the future, and she's going to know, she's going to remember that. And same way that you were able to look back on your videos and remember how you felt at that point.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a beautiful transformation that I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
With her and what she finds out there, but no rush.
Yeah, but like, you find, like trust like, whenever you're in that situation, feeling the way she feels, she doesn't think she'll find it.
No.
But then you do and you're like, oh.
I do think there's a huge element of, you know, sort of back to finding yourself, you know, being comfortable alone, being able to go to bed alone, like, you know, with my after my breakup this last time, like, it was the first time I, like, brushed my teeth alone for a while. Like, you know, like, it was just sort of a total shock.
It is a shock. But I don't know that that's a sign of codependency. That's a, you're grieving a loss at
yeah,
that point.
It's just,
you know, it's like,
life change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but in that, I'm just trying to touch on the idea of just being so comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not going to happen on day one of after a breakup. In fact, you might actually feel okay on day one or day two, and then that shit will hit you a few days later after you break your back and then get a lot of drugs put into you or whatever.
For me, I feel like it's always been really hard at first, and then as time goes on and, like, the further away I get from it, I look back and I'm like, how was I even that sad? Like, I'm so glad that shit ended, but, like, when you're in it, you don't see how bad it is. But some, like, hindsight and perspective, you're like, oh, yeah, thank God that ended.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When we started, I was really in awe of your independence and your sort of powerful, can we say boss-ass bitch?
Because I'm a boss-ass bitch.
Yeah,
bitch.
Can we say that?
Yeah.
you know, there was sort of an element of that that was exciting and inspiring to see in you, where I was like, oh, man, I want to be as independent as you.
I'm glad you interpreted my jaded hatred for the world as being a boss-ass bitch.
Yeah. And also, meanwhile, you're, like, trying to hit on me at the same time, so it's like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's probably really confusing.
Yeah, it was a lot.
You said I was intimidating. I'm sorry. I wasn't.
You challenged me to arm wrestle. How was I not?
I just wanted to hold your hand.
For a second there, I was like, holy shit.
I knew I wasn't going to win.
An arm wrestler. I was like, oh, my God.
I knew I wasn't going to win. I just wanted to, like,
I was like,
physical contact.
Let's go. Let's go right now.
Let's put some context. This was like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was.
After a party. We were drunk. Everyone already left the party. It was just the two of us.
Yeah.
We watched the sun come up, and I'm like, let's arm wrestle. I just wanted to touch your hand.
And I was into that. Just a little part of me that got a little scared that you were about to kick my ass. And I work out. I was worried. But no, it's okay.
No.
I beat you, and it was a good first handhold.
Yeah. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Yeah. I was probably sweating and scared, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I held my own.
Well, I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
So,
I'm not prepared.
You're not. Yeah, you best drink that wine,
yeah.
Boy. So, speaking of codependency, not long ago, and I feel like this is relevant, not long ago, I was accused of being codependent in my last relationship, which I thought was weird because that was like one of the relationships I told you about earlier where I was constantly trying to change him to be better. You know, like it was a strange thing.
Yeah, we did create a nickname system.
Raw chicken drumstick.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I needed a little context here.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I'll just explain this because not everyone knows my petty internet drama.
Yeah.
But there's this guy online who goes by Onision, whatever. I'm going to just, you know, drop that @. I'm not going to be shady. It's Onision. Anyways, everyone's going to know who I'm talking about anyways. He has harassed me for many years on YouTube. He made videos about my last relationship, and he hated that relationship. He hated the guy that I was, Raw Chicken Drumstick.
So he would just make videos on your relationship?
Well, the thing is like, he was a dick to me for no reason. I didn't even know that they had drama or they had any problem with each other. And then whenever I started becoming friends with my ex, this guy online, Onision, like, just got so pissed at me, and it just didn't make sense because I didn't have the context, I didn't know the story, and it just seemed out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you had a friend that started dating someone you didn't like, would you just all of a sudden be a dick to your friend? Like, cut them off, like, call them out online, be, like, ridiculous about it?
Well, yeah, the call-outs
that's
online.
That's just, like, come on.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
So, like, immature. That's kind of how it started.
Mm-hmm.
But then he wouldn't stop. Like, he harassed my body, the way that I looked, made several videos about my boobs, which is just really strange. Have you seen those?
No. I've seen little, like, clips. I mean, I could make several videos about your boobs.
You
no?
are welcome to. Oh,
okay, cool. I'm
going
to go get my GoPro head mount right now.
No.
Okay, sorry.
No, that stays private, dear.
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, just, like, too many videos. And I got to the point where I got fed up and I'm like, that's it. We're done. There, a lot more happened. I'm just giving a very brief synopsis of this story. So I basically stopped dealing with this person, stopped being friends with this person. And he tried to apologize, tried to make this video to me. And in that video, the apology was laced with a lot of insults. It was like, I don't want to fight with you, Jacqueline. I just wish that you like wouldn't be completely controlled by the guys that you're dating. I wish that you would be more independent. I wish that you weren't so codependent. I'm paraphrasing right now. But he basically accused me of taking on the personality of my ex.
And does that mean your current situation taking on?
I don't know. I think that could have been a dig at you. He said, it's like, I'm not trying to say anything about your, like, but, you know, I don't know.
Do you think that you take on, other than your sweet snowboarding skills?
Your personality? You think?
I mean, your interior decorating has gone up a notch.
Oh my God, your interior decorator. We are not getting into the tapestries right now.
Okay, that's fine.
We're not doing this again. I don't know. I think, you know, our biggest personality difference is that I'm less forgiving of other people. And yeah. I expect people to be horrible and I act accordingly. Like I protect myself, you know, I don't trust people with things. Whereas I think you would trust anyone with anything and you kind of let people get away with stuff because you don't like confrontation, and I'm other way around. It's not that I like confrontation, but I don't put up with anything. Like, I have zero tolerance left for anything anymore.
Yeah.
Probably because of my life. And it's not only people that I've dated that have screwed me over. It's been friends. It's been, like, roommate situations. It's been everything you can think of.
Yeah.
So just, like, human beings in general. Like, Onision included. Like, there were times where I decided, you know, maybe he's not the worst. Maybe we could be friends. Maybe he's, like, changed. He's changed. He's better now. Yeah. And then he just goes back and does the same thing again. So it's like, okay, I give up. I give up on trusting people. I think that's our biggest difference.
Yeah.
So if you did have an influence on my personality, I think that'd be really healthy because I'm too far in my direction of being jaded.
Yeah, no, I think I've brought in a little kind, not that you didn't, you're like the most kind.
Excuse me, what are you saying?
But I think I brought in a little bit of that. And I do think that you've actually helped me become a little more of a badass bitch.
I brought in a little sass.
Yeah, no, totally. But you've helped me with, you know, certain deals here and there. And
negotiate higher on those brand deals.
Yeah,
no,
you're helping me. You're helping me.
Yeah. See, and this is the thing. And this is where, like, the term codependency becomes confusing. Because in some ways, if it's with the right person, it can be good to share characteristics.
Absolutely.
Or like change. Because it's not even just changing who you are for the other person. It's just growing as a person. Mm-hmm. And you want to be with someone that grows with you and makes you grow and become a better person. So like, at what point is that not healthy? And at what point is it healthy? I think it just depends if it's making you better or not.
Yeah, totally. And then it's not necessarily age dependent, but I do think that at certain stages of your life, different ages and life paths or, you know, timelines, college, high school, jobs, whatever it is, you're having all these external factors and you're hopefully growing together with your partner. Mm-hmm. But there's all these external factors. So usually there's some conflict in that. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be on this podcast just like talking about how happy I am, but yeah, there's just an element of being in a similar place in a similar timeline where I think it's sort of cool. Where if you were in grad school right now, I don't know if I could do it.
Oh, fine, it's over.
No, just kidding. I totally could. You're sweet. Go to school.
Yeah, would be sweet, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe you're different for Onision. Maybe he likes you. He did actually, he tweeted at me the other day saying, congratulations. He thought we got engaged for a second.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I was about to congratulate you. It was we clickbaited with our title.
Oh, nice.
Saying it's official because it was officially starting this podcast. Uh-huh. And he thought it meant that we were engaged. So maybe, I don't know.
He should have watched. He should have watched the video and he should have checked it out.
Maybe he did because he knew it wasn't what he thought it was. He's like, I was about to congratulate you. But anyway, no, he's been pretty horrible to me in the past. And that was his relationship advice to me. I mean, like, that's a pretty, messed up thing to say, right? Like, I really like you and I don't want to fight with you and I think you're great, but just I wish you weren't completely controlled by men in your life.
And I don't think any men in your life ever actually could control you. I don't think you were controlled. I think you were, you definitely were not controlled by any of them. I could.
Well, I mean, there is like the one situation, and this is not Raw Chicken Drumstick, the one situation where I was told that I was like a whore and I was put down, like that did mess with my head.
Oh yeah, totally.
For a long time.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So I don't know. It's not that I was controlled, but and then, you know, like every time you get out of a relationship, at least for me, I'm like, I'm never, ever dealing with that again, that thing. And that's what I focus on. I'm like, that's the problem. I just need to not do that one thing again. And then you find someone else. And then there's a new horrible thing that you have to learn to not do again. And that's been my all of my relationships, just picking out, I don't know, deal breakers, I guess.
Man.
Making my list of deal breakers from all my relationships. But...
Well, that's intense. You know what I think it's time for?
Is it time for a break?
I think we should take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. And we are back. All right, so why do you think NECM said that about you?
I think, well, he actually explained it in the video. I don't even need to speculate. In the video, he was like, you know, I like the Jacqueline that didn't say mean things about me.
Oh.
So he basically blamed all of my negativity towards him on that relationship instead of realizing that it was me fighting for myself because he was being so horrible to me online and, like I said, making videos about my
boobs. Yeah, he's got a track record of
and he literally said he literally said in one of my videos that some of the decisions in my life must mean that my parents don't love me. Like, he's said so many...
Reminds me a lot of the being called a whore thing. Not,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's very condescending in that way. It sort of puts you in your place, and then he sort of could be a good guy through being your friend or wanting to be kind to you still. I don't know. Don't you think?
I do think it's a common manipulation tactic for people to put someone down in order to have some kind of power over them. But I don't see the point. And it's weird because... He got really, really mad. And the most angry he ever was, I think, was because there was talk of him doing the things that he was doing and acting the way he was acting because he had, like, a crush on me or something.
Yeah.
Which I never, like, yeah. I never thought that. But, like, I never think anyone likes me, so I don't know. I never thought that. But then, you know, I kept getting comments after comments saying it. And then the guy I was with at the time started saying it. And I'm like... I don't know. Like, it did seem similar to the way exes have treated me. It seemed like a jealous ex.
Yeah.
Like what you just said, like, to the guy who would call me names and put me down, like, it is a very, like, weird... Like, I don't know this person very well. Like, I met him once in person to do, like, a YouTube video collab weekend thing.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, sort of strange to give advice on this to... other random people that are, like, usually not ever having to deal with something this strange. But I guess it's just sort of like bullying or, like, weird external factors of friends that are butting their heads in or whatever you could maybe compare it to.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it's weird. The amount of emotional investment into me and my psyche and my dating life and what is going on. That's weird.
Yeah,
I know, I've always thought it was kind of weird.
And also that it's rude. There's some pretty mean, pretty horrible stuff that's been said about you, so...
Like, what I don't understand, like, is if you really genuinely cared about a person, totally just as a friend, like, you have to be tactful in how you approach certain things. Like we have a mutual person we both care for that we think is not in a great relationship. I'm not going to say who or even allude to it, but we're terrified to bring up that fact.
I don't actually know who you're talking about yet.
You don't?
No.
I can't say.
Okay.
But she's with someone we're not really entirely sold on.
Okay, sure.
Uh-huh. And we don't know how to, we can't, like, how do you tell someone?
That's a tough, as a friend, have you dealt with that often? I mean, have you ever told a close friend that you don't believe in them and who they're with?
Yes.
Yeah, shit's hard.
It ruined the friendship.
Yeah, between you and them?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that person has to take sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, like, in this situation, the most, like, what is the best way to go about it to, like, achieve what you want? Like, how do you actually give someone honest feedback without
being horrible? Yeah, but you can, yeah, I think at least one way for me to do it is sort of lead them to finding that solution. You know, lead the person that's not necessarily seeing that they're unhappy or that they're not in a healthy relationship or whatever it is, lead them to that solution on their own. So, but I also did it with my, I told my like childhood best friend, like I didn't like who he was with, and they stuck it out. They were together, and then, you know,
that's so tough.
They broke up eventually. And then I've also had other friends that, you know, I knew their relationship sort of sucked. Like, I had to deal with it. Like, I specifically had, like, a great friend that whenever we were together, it was awesome. You know, conversation was amazing, whatever. But as soon as the girlfriend came in the room, it was dead silent. And there was a wall across the room. And it made him, who was already a very shy person, who he was out of his box with me and with the other people, once she was around, it was just too closed off from the world to be sustainable.
That's sad.
I think he even moved across the world for her, and then I knew it wasn't going to work. And eventually, of course, it didn't. And now I think he's out happy, crushing it.
Yay.
But that's a tough situation.
I know my parents have been in that situation.
Oh.
Like, they've not liked guys I've dated. And, you know, and actually, this is great. That's how you do it. You have to be a parent, kind of. Like, you don't like the person that they're with, and you can say that in a loving way and being like, but I support you and whatever makes you happy, you know, and I'm here for you. And if me supporting this relationship is what I need to do to make you happy, then I'm here. But I just want you to know these are my concerns. I see these red flags. And because I love you, like, I just want to talk to you about it.
That's awesome.
But at the end of the day, I support you. I support you. Not necessarily their person, but I support you.
And that gives them a safe place, a safe person to talk to about those kind of situations.
Mm-hmm. The way to not go about it is to put that person on blast on the internet.
That's bad. That's
talk
real,
shit.
Yeah. Real bad.
But maybe he's not so bad.
I was actually thinking maybe
what, David?
Maybe he just needs a friend.
Yeah, he just didn't know how to tell me, and he wanted me to be his friend, and didn't know he was messing everything up.
Maybe Onision has layers, like an onion.
Oh, God. We just need to peel them back and see that he just is such an honest, friendly person, after all.
After all.
After all.
After all.
Wow.
Well.
That was the saddest podcast segment I've ever had in my life.
That's really beautiful. Really beautiful.
No, I don't trust him.
Yeah, no.
There's
no,
nothing.
No.
That is not. Fuck that is hand. Not something. I mean, listen. I tried. Like I said, I've been forgiving before, and it's done me no favors in life.
You're right. And I was there. I tried to give him a chance.
You did.
I was wrong.
You were there for part of it, and you advised me. You're like, maybe just trust him on this one thing. And
yep, I was wrong.
That didn't work out. But a very Onision thing to do is he always like pulls up definitions of things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's just really ridiculous. And I am thinking about that because I'm about ready to pull up a definition. So it's relevant.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. So earlier I was talking about codependency.
Yep.
I think this is interesting.
Okay.
Because it gives a distinction. It says codependency is a behavioral condition in a relationship where one person enables another person's addiction, poor mental health, immaturity, irresponsibility, or underachievement. So, I mean, that's part of it. That's what I was saying. Like, that's something I can only relate to in the situation where my, like, goals and aspirations weren't being supported and where I was being put down, because both of those things are really toxic.
Yeah, that's certainly not the way I was thinking of codependency.
Because, like, whenever you think of codependency, you just think of someone who's in a relationship or likes being in relationships. But some people are happier in relationships.
Totally.
And I mean that, you know, you shouldn't need another person to be happy, but you definitely could be happier with someone. Like, I want a family, and I want that whole thing.
Really?
And
that's weird.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. Don't run away from me. But it's impossible for me to do that. You know,
little baby beef, little baby turkey.
Okay, so his last name is Frank. So we joke about
ballpark
beef Frank, ballpark Frank, turkey Frank.
And
no,
yeah,
my love.
No. Okay.
David is Jewish, so that makes this joke somewhat acceptable.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say it. It's fine. Okay. And no, we're actually related.
Uh huh. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Well, her father remarried my great aunt.
You're completely full of shit.
No, it's real. Anyways, no, let's continue on with the definition.
it says, among the core characteristics of codependency is an excessive reliance on other people for approval and a sense of identity. So I think that is something that, again, is toxic. Like, if you need someone's approval to be happy, and that's kind of where I was whenever I was married, because, like, I was doing this new thing called YouTube, this crazy internet thing that I really loved, and I didn't have that support, and it was really hard for me to be happy, you know? But I think that that's, anybody would feel like that. If you were in a relationship with someone and they didn't support you, you'd feel like crap.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to have a partner that pulls you up towards your aspirations is great, but to have somebody that's putting you down, and I know that we've seen that with certain people, certain friends. I know that I've seen that with friends. Mm-hmm. I know that, I know that you've experienced that. I know I've experienced that. I've had issues in the past of actually me pushing my partners too hard, because I'm pretty self-critical of myself. And so I've had issues of that.
Okay.
Of pushing partners to pursue big dreams with their jobs, with their work, with whatever it is. And they actually took that negatively. My ass.
Okay. So they were interpreting it as like a criticism instead of a,
I'm not good enough.
Oh.
Get off, you know.
Was that like a communication issue, or was it just that they...
I was pretty gentle about it, but I also like...
I can't imagine you being like mean ever. Like, you're just such a nice, happy person all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless someone had underlying insecurities that maybe they weren't completely...
Yeah. I'm sure there was elements
forthright
of that.
About, and that was somehow like tapping a nerve.
Yeah, and I was for sure. I know it was definitely like triggering in that idea, and I know that I probably honestly got it a little bit from my parents, because they pushed me really hard with my career and what I wanted to do, and so then I found myself sort of falling into that pattern with my partner of like being able to like to push or trying to push them in the same way that my parents like pushed me, which is good. It's all in love. It's all for like bettering everything, but that's hard. That's hard on a relationship.
Yeah.
I definitely pushed you down some tough ski terrain.
Oh, are we going to talk about that?
No,
because
we're not
going to
talk about that.
I'm so mad.
That.
I was so mad at you.
But it was all in love.
No.
It was all in
you
love.
You lied to me.
I did not lie.
You
it was
did
a
lie.
Green circle.
You told me this hill is just the same as the one we did at the other place that you did fine on. It was not the same. It was much more difficult, and I hurt myself. I was really, really...
I feel bad. It was scary for me to see you fall.
Terrified that day.
I know. It was scary for me to see you fall.
Oh, was it?
I felt horrible.
Because you were like,
I was
just do it. Just do it.
And well, like, yeah, and like, I can't really defend myself. Yes, we should have done the bunny slope a little bit longer. I didn't know. The woman at the ski rental place said that one was good.
The woman at the ski place who was like 7 years old with the cat that was like about to die. That cat was unhealthy. It was I love it because it was a kitty cat, but it was not healthy.
The cat was like, don't do that run.
The cat was like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, my bad. Sorry about that.
I forgive
pushed you.
You
a little bit hard.
I'll get better one day. I'll
yeah,
figure
you
it out.
Yeah.
You're just trying to make me codependent on you.
Interesting.
You're just trying to push me down the hill.
Yeah, well, you're a little dependent on me on the mountain still.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I was grabbing a hold of you. I was like, do not let me fall. And then I fell. In love.
Oh.
I don't know. I think we pretty much covered the codependency thing. It does say that people with codependency form relationships that are one-sided, emotionally destructive, and or abusive.
So let's bring it back to nugget cake.
Yeah. Mm. Let's talk about nugget cake.
Just a little bit. So, you know, moving forward, I think, number one, it sounds cheesy, focus on yourself, whatever. But, like, seriously, like, just be cool being by yourself. Like, you, at the end of the day, for the rest of your life, you have you. And that's like, the only constant in all of that. So then, once you're, like, a little bit okay with that, and hopefully someone surprises you, then I think it's going to be totally exciting and totally cool. But just keep in mind, you want to set a very, very, very smart foundation for the future. So some of the stuff that you've seen in the past that you know you dislike in a relationship, be mindful of that. And I know that we came into this both very much wary of past issues that we've had and conscious of how to like set a good foundation to be able to have what we need to flourish with each other. So
yeah, like I said, I had my list of deal breakers before meeting you, and you have not presented a problem with any of them.
A little more Jewish than you usually date.
That is not it. You know, it's crazy. You're a little bit more like faithful is like a good word.
Faithful.
Not a total asshole.
Oh. Okay.
You know.
Oh, like not trying to have sex with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My friends are like, "Wow, you found a guy who like isn't trying to sleep
with
everyone."
Yeah, just one. Wow. Yeah.
Where did he come from? I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. There are a lot of guys out there, I'm sure, that are able to do that. I've just been especially talented at finding the ones that can't.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I do think it's a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you have to make your list of deal breakers, but...
And you learn with each relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not really conscious of it when you're getting into it as much, at least for me, for younger stages, or maybe those red flags were there. I didn't call it. I didn't call them out. I didn't work on them. Yeah. I honestly didn't know about a lot of them with my last one because we were long distance for so long, you know?
Yeah, and then you move in together and then you have a whole new set of things to figure out.
Real life, moving in, money, like these are all the things that they're hard to deal with. So nugget cake, you know, I think it's important that you really, really, really take some time to focus on reflecting on what went wrong, understanding that it wasn't your fault and that you can go and you can learn in this situation and you can go into the next one much better
off. The only thing you can do proactively about not losing your sense of self is to make sure that you don't try to change who you are to make the other person happy. You know, like not too much, not in an unhealthy way. If that means that you're giving up hobbies, if that means that you're doing things that you completely hate that go against your morals, you know, like things like that. Like if you're breaking like the foundation of like the core of who you are to accommodate to somebody else, if you're doing things that make you uncomfortable, if you're doing things that, you know, take away from your success in life or your ability to accomplish goals that are important to you, you know, then that's a bad thing. But if you can keep all of that together and make sure that any changes you're making are for you and not for the other person, and that you're growing and becoming better. If you think that the person you're with is making you a better person, then you're not, you know, doing anything that's hurtful to yourself. So you can like focus on that, and that's what you can do proactively going into a relationship to make sure that you don't feel like you're losing your sense of self. But I think the major part of it, honestly, is finding someone that's a good fit for you that isn't toxic.
How do you feel about close, trusted friends or family giving you the feedback? You know, like we spoke about telling that friend that they're who they're with sucks, but like, you know, for me, I always fought my parents on it, but they were right. You know, they didn't like who I was dating because of how it affected me
and
the kind of me that they saw.
And sometimes people that are like not you, outside of you, can see that more clear than you can because you're in it. Rose-colored glasses or whatever, you know, corny thing you want to say to explain that, but sometimes people see it, but sometimes they don't. And that's the thing, too, like, maintaining your sense of self, that doesn't only apply to relationships, that can also, like, also apply to your friendships. It can also apply to your family. Sometimes people have really overbearing family members, they have overbearing friends. So maintaining your sense of self might not necessarily be allowing those people to control you, but that doesn't mean you should shut them out and not listen. As long as they're approaching you with love. You know, and it's like as long as you, like what I said earlier, as long as what you're doing makes you a better person and you're happy and you're not compromising what is important to you to be with that person, then I think that's a good thing. It's a good relationship to be in.
That is a beautiful sum up of our answer to Nugget Cake.
Nugget Cake,
thank you for submitting your question via our Patreon. We're if you are interested, you can submit video questions just like Nugget Cake, and the rest of the Patreon community are all submitting their questions, and we are so happy to be answering them, hanging out with everybody over on Patreon. It is very cool.
Yeah, and thank you guys for hanging out with us on this podcast. It's our third episode.
Woo!
Woo, we're getting into it.
Yeah, we really
are. That's
exciting.
So make sure that you guys leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe. Doing those things tells the algorithm that we're cool, and we want to be cool.
Yeah.
So.
And you can find Unfiltered Love on all of the social media, so make sure you follow there. That's pretty exciting. Anything in the world of Jacqueline Glenn?
We're just podcasts.
Well, yeah, podcasts. But I'm just curious. I mean, we got the podcast as our little baby, but like you also do some pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm doing Patreon postcards right now.
Oh, this month.
Yeah, patreon.com/Jacqueline, posting YouTube videos.
Yeah. So I think people have to become a patron of you by the end of the month, and then they get a badass signed postcard of you.
Yeah. What are you doing? Any new music? Anything cool?
I just put out a new song, and I really am excited to get back to writing. Mm. I have too many unfinished old songs that I need to finish that are completely not relevant to my life, and I have too many love songs that I need to write.
You got to get on that.
I need to get on that. So be on the lookout for some more Future Sunsets music here pretty soon.
Nice. All right.
Well, so,
let's wrap up. You finished your wine. I was going to cheers you, but your wine is gone.
We're good.
I will cheers the mic.
No.
Here. All right. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.